Tonight is the night.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. The Senate is gearing up, hoping to shift the momentum of the $700 billion financial rescue package. The Senate will vote this evening on its own version of the package. Marketplace continues its coverage of the financial crisis with our Steve Henn in Washington. Steve, it sounds like we know a little more about what differentiates this version from what the House voted down the other day. So what's in the bailout goodie bag this time?
Goodie number one is expanding FDIC insurance coverage, which we knew was coming. They're going to more than double the cap to cover $250,000 in savings accounts. Goodie number two, they're going to give the SEC sort of a magic wand to suspend some accounting rules. The SEC could wave this wand and banks could value these mortgage-backed securities a different way. That would bring potentially billions of dollars in assets back onto the books of these banks and make this insolvency crisis just go away. Now, there are some strong arguments against it, but the SEC, if this passes, will have the power to do that. And then they put in a couple sweeteners that really have nothing to do with the financial crisis at all. One is a set of tax credits for renewable energy, and the second is a temporary patch for the alternative minimum tax.
Well, and it sounds like this is going to be more attractive perhaps to some Republicans, but not necessarily to some Democrats.
Yeah, fiscally conservative Democrats are likely to have a problem with this. That's right. Some other Democrats might not, but, you know, if your number one issue is the budget, the federal budget is out of control, this just makes a tough bill to vote for even tougher.
Everything we're hearing seems to point to this going over pretty easily tonight with the Senate. But what if it doesn't pass?
I think if it doesn't pass, there could be some seriously upset bankers around the world. But we'll just have to wait and see.
All right. Marketplace's Steve Henn with the latest from Washington. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
The Dow scored its third largest point gain in history yesterday, 485 points, just a day after its biggest point drop ever. Japan's Nikkei closed up 1%. European markets are mostly higher. Multinational banks aren't the only ones having trouble getting money. As banks stop lending to each other, they've stopped lending to customers. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith reports.
A couple weeks ago, Jessica Eustace got a letter from her bank.
The notice said, under current business conditions, we have to freeze your equity line.
That experience is becoming quite common, says personal finance expert Jordan Goodman.
Home equity lines are being cut back dramatically because the value of the homes are falling. That's part of the credit crunch kind of hitting Main Street.
And it's a big hit. Goodman says a lot of people have come to rely on home equity.
People have been using home equity credit to meet their basic expenses.
Credit cards are seizing up as well. These days, it's harder to qualify for a card. Take Dan Ouellette. He lost his job and his house and has had trouble getting money ever since.
There's no way I could apply for a credit card. There's absolutely no way I could qualify for one.
Personal finance expert Goodman says financial institutions are making the situation worse by raising interest rates and minimum payments. And he says even if the markets get a bailout from Congress, it will likely be a long time before people can get easy access to credit again. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by the American Public Transportation Association, committed to helping Americans save on gas and become energy independent. At publictransportation.org.
Here's another consequence of the credit freeze. We're not seeing as many startups go public. During the dot-com boom, IPOs seem like a dime a dozen. A new study today shows those days are simply gone. Mitchell Hartman reports from the Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting.
Today's report from the National Venture Capital Association isn't pretty. In the third quarter, there was precisely one VC-backed initial public offering. In the second quarter, there were none. That hasn't happened for 30 years. Mark Heeson is the association's president.
Thus far, we have 6 venture-backed IPOs for the year. Normally, we should have at least 75 at this point. So 6 is something that we simply have never seen before.
An IPO is one of the ways that venture capitalists cash out on their investments. The fewer IPOs, the less willing VCs may be to invest in startups at an early stage. Heeson says launching a company that you've nurtured onto the stock market to stand on its own has always been considered a home run in the VC game, and not just because it's a moneymaker.
You have to look at what companies do when they go public. They become important corporate citizens. You know, I look at Dell and I think, what would Austin be today without Dell? What would have happened if Google or eBay had been bought instead of gone public?
But with IPOs drying up, selling out to a bigger player is often the way to go. Intel might gobble up a hot software startup. Merck could buy a company with a promising drug in clinical trials. Bob Ward runs Capybara Ventures in Portland.
Everybody's looking for a leg up on competition. Large tech really relies on the small players, on small fast movers, innovators, to provide the next generation.
And VCs have continued to funnel cash into hot fields like biotech, the internet, and clean technology. Mike Hoffman hopes some of that money will flow his way. His startup, PowerMand, develops tools to improve energy efficiency.
And it just so happens we're in one of those markets that really matters, the sustainability area. So we kind of think that if we can get past this hump of actually having revenue, that we will be a very attractive venture target.
Until the VCs agree, though, his company will just have to last a little longer on the founder's own money and funds from friends and family, usually the first investors to risk their shirts in any startup. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
We are getting new job numbers this morning, too. A private firm says companies laid off 95,000 people in September. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Continue our coverage at marketplace.org. Thanks for listening. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.